It is the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis live from Harry Carey's Italian Steakhouse, River North, 1810 Road. Worldwide toast to Harry Carey, sponsored by Budweiser. Richard Roper is on the stage with us. And now, ladies and gentlemen, welcome Hall of Famer Ryan Sandberg,
ladies and gentlemen, right here. All good. Glad to be here, Ryan. I congratulated Roy. I said, you got an amazing Ryan Sandberg lookalike to come here. And then I realized, no, it's the actual Ryan Sandberg. How about that right there?
Well, I'm easy to look like, I think.
That is true. All right, so this is very exciting for Cubs fans. I want to say this first, that you're back sort of in the Cubs fold and part of, you know, working with the team. Because it to me, you will always, even though I know you were with Philadelphia when you came up in baseball and then, you know, back with the organization last couple of years, to me, you're always a Chicago Cub.
Well, bro, no doubt about that, and that's the way that I've always felt. I got my break here. I got my start here. I got a chance to be a major league player coming over at a young age in a season in 1982 where they're trying to get some young players to start get it to go in the other direction, which built till 1984. But you know what? The Cubs also allowed me to go away for a couple of years, and I had ambitions of managing in the major leagues after doing it at the minor league level.
Right.
And so with the green light from the Cubs to go and do that and get that under my belt and get that kind of off my chest, and then now to come back with the Cubs is full circle, and this is where I belong.
And what a great time to come back, right? I mean, this is
great time to come back.
Such an exciting team.
Time means everything, right?
It sure is.
It's pretty exciting, and I really got a taste of that at the Cubs convention about a month ago, and just to be a part of that and meet the group and meet the guys, and really from the Cubs organization standpoint, meeting everybody from top to bottom, just top notch. A lot of character. Everybody's on the same page about winning, and that's all that they talk about. So it's fun to be around.
For somebody who has lived and breathed baseball your entire sentient life, what do you think is the one thing you see in this organization that maybe in your baseball mind you see that the average human can't see about this team that makes them special?
Well, first of all, I think my last couple of years at the major league level, I saw that it's a daily grind. It takes young players. It takes a core group of young players to lead the way. It's a long haul, and you need that energy every day, and that comes from the young players. And that's what the Cubs have going for them that I think is very impressive. And it took some downtime and some down years to get to this point, and that was the plan. And now the plan it has worked. It's in full force as we speak with last year, the way that it went with young players coming
up.
And now they've just added to it to make a team that everybody talks about going to the World Series. So not only that, but the character of the players seems to be something that's really on the radar with the Cubs, and I'm impressed with that.
Yeah.
I followed the team the last 2 months of the season and in postseason, and it was very easy to pull for these guys just the way they went about their business. They had fun playing the game. They had energy. Looked like they loved to play the game of baseball, and winning was part of that.
And they were only 128 outs from going to the World Series this year. That's all it took.
But, you know, Ryan, we were talking about the way you played the game earlier on the show, and you played the game the same way. If it was a 4-4 tie in the ninth inning, if you were up 10-2, down 10-2, you believed in, you know, positioning on defense, hitting the cutoff man, all the little things. And I think you're seeing that with this Cubs team, because you have to buy into a team concept. There are a lot of great athletes who are baseball players who don't understand all of that. You know, they want to make the throw themselves from left field. They're not thinking about who's going to cover second base in certain situations. And I think you see that with this team, right?
Well, that's credit to the minor league system with the young players that came up. They obviously preach winning baseball, good fundamental baseball. Joe Maddon and his coaches staff, they preach doing the little things better than anybody else. And really, when you're talking about 6 months of baseball and a game every single day, it's those little things that really do matter, and that's what they're stressing, so it all works.
Yeah, and I gotta just think that Maddon has, we were talking about this earlier, he's like a wizard. There's something else that goes on inside of him that I think that, you know, when players look at their manager, and they have to be either inspired or they have to be intrigued in some way by what they're saying. And I think that actually Joe Madden's got that intrigue thing, because with, you know, where he gets the guys to dress up when they're on the road and do crazy things, and just sort of get them out of the mindset of, you know, the daily grind, right? Isn't that what you're really trying to avoid there? And he's very good at that piece.
Very good at that. He's very experienced at that, and it's the daily grind, and it's also taking pressure off the players and just letting the natural talents come out of the players by being relaxed and by having fun. And to do that as a group, he's a master at that. He has experience at that. And he has a track record of winning baseball doing that. So that's right. What he's got in his favor.
Because then you can talk about this. You know, the difference between managing on the minor league level and the major league level is an interesting one, because in the minor league level, everybody's, you know, aspiring to be somewhere else. At the major league level, people are either, you know, living their dream life, and sometimes to the worst end, or they're holding on to stay, or they're just holding on to as long as they possibly can at the end of their career, right? So you have that, because everybody's at the top. Talk a little bit about the difference there in the mindset.
Well, first of all, in the minor leagues, it is all about the players. I mean, they're very coachable. They want to have somebody tell them something that gets them over the top, that gets them to the big leagues, because that's their dream.
Yeah.
And it's pretty much that way as a group. When you get to the major leagues, the key there, like I said before, is having a key group of young players that are still trying to prove themselves. They still have something to prove. They still have the energy to play every day, the night games, the day games, the travel, the grueling schedule. And to have a core of young players that do that and have come up through the Cubs minor league system doing that, now they're just doing what they did probably 3 or 4 years ago in the minor leagues with the Cubs. Now the organization sprinkles some veteran guys that have been there before,
yeah.
Quality veteran guys that are all about winning, and that's what they've done. So a lot of credit to Theo and to Jed with putting together a group of guys that gel together, and they're all on the same page. All on the same page is very key at the major league level. That's what I sense with this club.
Isn't it true? In some ways, Ryan, the easiest part is the moment that, you know, you're out on the field and you're playing the game. It's the 90% that's all around there that makes such a huge difference. You know, the players spending time together and being prepared. Once you play the game, it's the player's game at that point.
And what I've been told and have noticed from this group is they like to spend the time away from the ballpark together. They do things together. They go bowling.
Yeah.
They
right.
go golfing.
Yeah.
They do fun things. They like to hang out with each other. So now when they come to the ballpark, it's no different. Other than the fact that it's baseball and they're on the same page about winning the baseball game. So, you know what, it's a very good group. It's fun to be around.
There's always exciting. One cranky old guy, though, that's on the team that's been around forever. Every office has one, and every baseball team has one, too, that you want to keep away from the kids, too, because he's going to ruin their attitudes. Right? Isn't there always, like, sort of one guy?
I don't know who that is in this group. I haven't run into that person yet. It's pretty
good.
Strange. I mean,
but you know they're on almost every team, right?
They can be, but
it hasn't
surfaced yet, and it didn't last year for sure.
Oh, no, for sure. And I think what's interesting, too, about what they've done, you know, is the pitching staff, too, because that's a totally separate mindset, right, than the position players, because those guys all have to sit and they have to wait and they have to think about it, and it's that anxiety, right? Like a kid like Jake Arrieta, who had this amazing season, right, and he had this astounding ERA in August and in September. And everybody's kind of waiting, I think, also in the back of their minds for, you know, when's it going to turn midnight, right? Mm. How does the manager or the staff keep those guys focused and not thinking about that?
Well, I think that's credit to everybody involved, but that's credit to Arrieta. He's supposed to be off the charts as far as his work ethic and what he does. Every second he's at the ballpark, he's trying to do something to help him improve as a player. That's credit to him. Mm-hmm. Now, the benefits of that is all the young pitchers around him, and whether it's bullpen, whether it's guys in the minor league, hear about that, watch it.
Yeah.
I mean, they just feed off of that, so that's a very good thing.
Yeah.
Then I thought it was also interesting with having John Lester on the team last year, now to bring in John Lackey. They've been teammates before. They've won. They've been together. Very interesting, and I think there's instant camaraderie and chemistry that's built when they brought Lackey over. And Lackey's a big-time pitcher. He's done it numerous times.
Right?
He's been there. And that's I've talked to him, and that's all that he talks about is doing it here in Chicago now.
Right, and also, and that, you know, and Hayward coming up from St. Louis, too, it's like that to me, it's better that when a guy comes from St. Louis, a star from St. Louis, they come up here.
Yeah, that's
it's like Harry, right, coming
yes,
up there.
Yeah.
It's sort of you want that thing because it hurts them, right?
Yeah, it's addition by subtraction. You
yeah.
want the poker pot from your rival.
Right.
You got his money, too. It's
yeah.
not just, you know, you're winning.
Well,
so.
Being a free agent like Hayward and have him picking the Cubs, that says something about what the Cubs meant to baseball last year
yeah.
and what
yeah.
even the visiting teams thought
Absolutely.
When they come in to experience, see Wrigley Field being renovated, see the improvements that are on the way that are going to be great.
And Hayward always played very well in a Cardinal uniform in Wrigley Field.
Well, that has something to do with it. I really see him having a chance of really taking off at Wrigley Field. He's been at Atlanta, which is a tough place to hit the long ball and drive the ball, but I see him really taking advantage of that. And I'm sure he got caught up into the Cub fans and
yeah.
the excitement that was going on at Wrigley Field last year.
That's a great thing. All right, we're with Ryan Sandberg, the Hall of Famer, is with us. We're going to do the Worldwide Test of Harry Carey coming your way in about 40 minutes here, and Ryan's going to lead it. It is the 18th annual Worldwide Toast to Harry Carey at Harry Carey's Italian Steakhouse in River North. Brought to you by Harry Carey himself and by Budweiser. And today, Richard Roper, would be the 102nd birthday of Harry Carey. The 102nd birthday. How about that? Ryan Sandberg, who is the Toastmaster General tonight, is joining us up on the stage. And what did Harry Carey, do you think, mean to baseball?
Well, first of all, I can talk personally. He meant a lot to my career.
Mm-hmm.
162 games on TV.
Yeah.
You wanted Harry Carey to be on your side, and you wanted to play the game the right way, and that I looked at it that way.
Was that a conversation in the clubhouse about guys not ticking him off?
No, there were some that didn't like if he called it the way that he saw it, and which how do you... How do you get mad? How do you have a problem with that?
Yeah.
But some players
play better.
Back
and you won't
then,
say that, right?
Back then, yeah, exactly. Play better. So that was always my approach, and I always had the pride of knowing that our games were on TV, 162 games, coast to coast.
Mm.
I witnessed it when we go to the West Coast, if we go to Houston, if we go up to Canada. It didn't matter. We had the fans. Starting after in 84, because everybody was watching our game. It was the only game on at 1:20 in the afternoon.
Right.
The Braves were on every game, every day,
every night.
And then you had the Saturday games of the week, which was a special deal, a big deal. We call that the game of the world because everybody was watching.
Yeah,
but everybody was watching me play every at-bat and every play that I played, and I took some pride in that.
That Saturday game of the week in 1984 here at Wrigley Field in June against the Cardinals, considered by many, including Bob Costas, he says it's the most fun game he ever called. You were spectacular in that game. What did that particular one... Can one game change a career, I guess, is the question. Did that change your career?
I think it changed my direction in my career, no question about it. The spring of 84, Jim Frey just coming over from the American League. He liked the three-run home run. He liked the home runs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's the manager of the Cubs. We're playing at Wrigley Field.
Right.
There's some days where the wind's blowing out, some days where it's blowing in, but he talked to me about driving the ball and being more of an impact type of a player.
Mm.
Well, that really came to light June 23rd with that type of a game on the game of the week.
Right.
Before that game, I was second in the voting in the All-Star race behind Steve Sachs. The next week, I passed him and went and started my first of 10 straight All-Star games. And
I think
that game had a lot to do with it, along with on the way to MVP. I think that one game got me my second Gold Glove that I got, my first silver bat, MVP trophy, and my first All-Star
game.
That's
a year right there.
But you know what? I think it all started on June 23rd, really, to take it to that next level.
And I think that also, the one game can change the entire season for a team, and I think that one game changed that's the one that propelled you to give the Cubs the kind of confidence that they had moving forward to make it into the playoffs.
I think so, too. And the teammates said that. They said that was an unbelievable game. It, I believe at the time it either put us a half a game up for the first time or half a game down. It was, it really put us to the
right
top
there.
And really knocking at the door at that time. So it was one game that meant a lot.
And after that, how many more gold gloves? Eight more after that, I think you had?
Eight
something
more
like
after that.
Yeah,
that's six silver bats.
Not
and,
bad.
And nine all-star games.
That's the momentum going, too.
Well, you know what? That I also wanted to repeat that, because once you experience something like that, like I did in 84, and playing at that level.
Yeah. You're like a fighter hanging on to the title.
For me personally, I wanted to keep that and do that year after year.
As a hitter, though, I mean, because you were a guy who came up thinking more line drives and in the gaps, and you certainly had the power. In that game or in any other game, were there times when you stepped up the plate thinking home run?
I went up and as that at bat came, or as the count changed, I think I got more aggressive in certain counts in certain situations, and I think that's the word I'd want to use, is more aggressive. I wasn't actually thinking home run, because players will tend to pop up or overswing or pull it foul or something, but I'd get more aggressive in those types of situations. And I was a really a hitter that really tried to take advantage of counts. When I was ahead in the count, 0-0, 1-0, 2-0, 2-1, 3-1, full count, I wanted to be more aggressive and drive the baseball and make something happen on more of a power swing, but maintaining a line drive stroke. Gotcha. So a lot of those swings ended up with doubles in the gaps or doubles down the line. If I was underneath it just a hair, it might go out. Because there were days and there were weeks where very difficult to hit a home run at Wrigley Field,
sure, with
the wind blowing straight in.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and you didn't know when that was going to be. So
wait, hold on a second, Ryan. Something very important just happened. They just
happened?
Dropped the price of a Bud or Bud Light bottle to 73 cents here.
We need to get one for Ryan. Now some of your cheapos can actually buy a Hall of Famer a beer.
I want to just mention about the Hall of Fame right before we let you go, because I know we're going to get to Judy's news here, but it is an amazing thing. You're wearing your Hall of Fame
ring.
That is
ring.
I am.
And we were just admiring it. And you said something that gave both me and Rich chills. You were one of only 66?
I believe it's either 66 or 67 living Hall of Famers that
are
walking around that have the ring.
Oh, my gosh.
And I had to drag that out, by the way. He has it in his pocket. I brought it up. Ryan never would have brought it up.
Yeah, put it back in your pocket. Right. Yeah, that's good. Around this crowd. Have you seen what's going on?
I'll be flaunting it the rest of the night.
All right, broadcasting live from Harry Carey's. Ryan, thank you so
much.
Ryan
Sandberg.
Back
Thanks.
With you in about 30 minutes for the toast to Harry.